Injured in a car accident? It's about money. Your money. Your settlement. We cap attorney's fees at 30% of the first million. Any recovery above that is all yours. No recovery? You pay no fees or costs. We strive to get you more at Lawyer Up 904, Jacksonville.
Come on, somebody. Duval! I said it before, and I'll say it again. Winning solves everything. Come on, somebody.
You know, we're just looking for one more point.
Dropping, it's a blitz. Trevor fires right corner of the end zone. Caught for the touchdown. Trevor Lawrence to Christian Kirk for the score.
We're just looking for, you know, guys to make plays. We're just looking for opportunity.
They snap it quickly. Pitches to the right. This is ATN. Inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown. A touchdown run by Travis Etienne, and Jacksonville has taken the lead.
I think all of that came true today in this game, and this is a great team win.
That felt great. I mean, I think just even the way we had to win to kind of get out of this rut.
They dropped the throw, four-man rush. He swings it out of the backfield. That ball's going to be caught. Now they're going to try and throw a lateral to the other side of the field. The ball is going to be picked off in the air by Devin Lloyd. That's going to close out the ball game. Devin Lloyd tackled to the ground with 8 seconds to play, and the Jags are going to win.
Down 17-0 in the first half and just had to overcome a lot. And it really took all phases. Every part of our team made some huge plays.
It's not like,
you know, the offense or the defense had to carry us for this one. It was just everybody playing together. Nobody panicked when we got in that hole early, and just it feels good to win one.
This boy got a hit.
Ten XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Tony Smith, Tom McManus, and E to the T.
Oh, we're getting ready to wrap up the week after the Jags lose on the road to Kansas City last week, Tommy. Obviously, none of us expected them to necessarily go in and win the game. Still disappointed, though, with the way that they lost the game. Again, they're finding new ways every week when they lose, right? And last week was no exception with the touchdown coming off the board with Cam Robinson running to the end zone inexplicably on a touchdown pass. You miss two field goals, you lose by 10. There's 10 points, right?
No doubt.
And I don't think even with those 10 points going on the board that they're going to win that game
right. In
Kansas City, but you are still shooting yourself in the foot when everything is said and done. Tony Smith, Tom McManus, E.T. here with you as we get set to head into the weekend. It's been a weird feeling week,
yeah,
Tommy. And
why is that?
And I have felt it since the game ended last Sunday.
Okay.
You know, I work on the Jaguars radio broadcast pre- and post-game.
Yep.
So I'm down at the stadium for all that. So I'm on there for the caller hour, right, in the second hour of the post game.
Yep.
And you could almost feel the whole city going, thank God we get a break, right? It's the bye week,
yep.
And it was almost like we don't have to be so intense about it. You know, this week it's the way that it felt immediately after the game, even in the post game. Like there was just this big, I need some room to breathe, you know, heading to the bye week. And we'll see what that feels like once we come out of it. But it has felt that kind of way all week to me.
Yeah.
Like the fan base is really, really taking advantage of the bye week right
now. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, they worked a couple days this week and then taking some time off. You got to take time off in the bye week. Did it come at a good time? I guess, you know, not to mention, add to what you were saying, the first drive, I mean, Kirk had a great day, but make the catch, man. Yeah. That's at least three. Or you think you got a chance of at least three.
For sure.
You know, I tell you one thing. I'm trying not to get irritated. I'm really not.
You can get irritated.
I don't want to, because I want nothing but good things for this team, right? Mm-hmm. I want them to win. I mean, like everybody else, I want them to win. At the end of the day, they're not winning. You know, I feel like this, you know, you hear it from – you know, whether the receivers coach is on yesterday or you hear it from Doug earlier in the year, the quarterback earlier in the year, or just, you know, you hear it, these silver linings of, well, you know, we're one score away. Well, you know, self-inflicted wounds. To me, self-inflicted wounds are you not doing your job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not like, you don't get it feels like that's a pass. Like, oh, well, it's self-inflicted. Well, so what? That means you either dropped the ball, you threw a bad ball, you ran down the field on the RPO, whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
That defense is there. I don't know the RPO like they do, but I know when four linemen stay and one goes, someone's lost focus somehow. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Something's not right there. Just things like that. You know, and I'm surprised they're undisciplined, Tone. They're an undisciplined team. You know, maybe not from a late hit, you know, that kind of, you know.
Well, I've had a few of the roughing the penalty. Right. Well, the passer,
but just
calls.
Boneheaded plays, boneheaded mistakes, not knowing where you're at in coverage. I mean, wide open. Look, we've often talked about, there's always holes in the zone, but they're split-second holes. They're not gaping wide open. I'm wide open. Sure. Hey, look at me. I got a flag. I'm waving you. I got the flag. Just throw it over here. You know, it was just time after time again. Were there good things out of the game? Yes. Our quarterback's playing better, and I will give him credit. He's playing better. I want to see more, but I like the way he's playing. Mm-hmm. I like what Cisco's doing. He's becoming an enforcer and a ball hawk, and he's becoming that type of player that we hope that he can be.
Sure.
I don't like the fact they got pushed around again. They get that D-line. I said on Friday they're going to test their will. Now, granted, they threw it all over too, but they ran the ball very effectively, pushing guys out of the way. You know, once you put that on film, other teams are going to try to copycat that. And if I'm an opposing offense, that's the first thing I'm doing towards that defense is I'm going to see how tough they think they really are. Because
I've seen
too much of them getting pushed around.
Totally. And I think, I know it's been discussed on XL Primetime and to some degree with us this week too, right? The idea of, I know Matt Hayes has expressed it as, I want to see somebody get mad, right? Like, and I don't know who that needs to be, but somebody to be mad about some of the things that you're talking about, where it is the self-inflicted stuff. I think it speaks to how cohesive the locker room is right now that none of that is happening, right? And I think it speaks to how locked in they are to what Doug Peterson and his coaching staff is trying to bring to them, that there hasn't been any of that. You know, you have Christian Kirk walk to the podium on Monday, and he'll talk about being frustrated with the losing. He's not happy with where they're at. We could be so much better than we are right now. We're going to keep pushing forward. Yep. But it's not anger, right? Like, it's frustration, but it's frustration expressed at a
maybe because the coaching staff is that way, right?
And, exactly, and they're that's a reflection the of that. Yeah,
that's the philosophy. That's fine when you're winning. Mm-hmm. To me, you know, when you're losing, I don't know. I wouldn't, you know, I keep getting asked online and off, like, well, you guys in 96, you were 3-6, you were 4-7. I said, yeah, but we were treated like 3-6. It wasn't happy going into Coughlin's, you know, meetings or practices. We were still hitting a ton. We were still conditioning a ton.
Yeah.
We were getting yelled at all the time. Like, that's not good. Even in practice, that's not good enough. That's why we're 3-7. That's why we're whatever we are. You know what I mean? And it's okay. There's different approaches. It's a different time. And look, positive reinforcement works, but I don't know. I like, you know, great. You're number two in the league in first downs. Yippee. Have a cookie. Yeah, take a break this weekend. I don't know. Who cares? You're terrible on third down on defense. You're absolutely horrible. Mm-hmm. Again, where's your defense? You put so much money into this defense and your draft pick. And, you know, Devin Lloyd getting benched. I'll give Doug a lot of credit for sitting him down. Look, if you don't know what you're doing out there, you can't play.
Right.
I'm sorry. You're a liability. You're a liability in coverage. So, just, you know, I know we're all aggravated. I'm not a silver lining guy. It's wins and losses. Come on.
You're 3-7. Whatever you've done to get there hasn't been good enough.
Right. When we look back, we're not going to go be, oh, well, you know.
And I think it's fair, Tommy, to point out, they're clearly better than they were last year. They were the worst team in football last year.
Right.
Whoopee.
Great.
You know, like
your record's not any better.
Right. They've improved from the worst in the league to they're not the worst in the league. I'd agree with you. They're not at that level still. But there has been so many opportunities that they've created for themselves, right? That is the effort that you've put into a game. You've created those opportunities for yourself that they haven't been able to take advantage of.
Right.
And there ought to be some frustration about that kind of thing, because you do have an opportunity to be a 6-4, 5-5 football team right now.
You
and
could
for,
be 5-5.
Right.
You could be. But
right. Like,
coulda, woulda, shoulda,
everything is in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, coming out of the bye week, if you're 5-5, 3-7 it's still technically in front of you, but you got to not lose again.
And maybe you can. Yeah. You know, you got to beat Baltimore if you want any kind of run, obviously.
No doubt.
That's going to be a tall order. You know, look, I think inside, nobody likes losing. You know what I mean? Nobody likes. You can't. You can't be at that level and feel okay with losing. Now, you may be like, whatever. You know, I got my money. I got my contract, whatever. But most guys aren't like that. Most guys are. They want to win. Yeah. And the coaches want to win. And I know they're trying. I know they want it. No, winning is way much more fun than losing. Trust me. Victory Mondays are awesome.
No doubt.
They are. I mean, when you get that. And by the way, when we went our run, that started happening. Like Coughlin would give us Victory Monday. We were like, what?
Yeah.
We got to be back till Wednesday. But I'll tell you this, Wednesday, you better come in ready. No screwing around. We got a busy, busy day to get into it. So,
no doubt.
Anyway, but that was a tough game. You know, they had every chance to be right there. Mahomes was incredible. I mean, no pressure.
He's great.
All he does
is
slip out.
If you're not going to hit him, he's going to beat you. Like, that's who Mahomes is. There's no doubt about that. He's established that as a player in the league for sure. Our question of the day today, Tommy, Chad, and Sandy Real Estate bringing you the question of the day. Make one bold prediction for the final seven games of the 2022 season for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll discuss that as we go throughout the show this morning. We had a couple of questions from this week that I was interested to get your opinions on.
Cool. I haven't seen them either.
Yeah,
so.
That we asked on the show this week. So we'll get into that as we continue along. E.T. alongside, how you doing this morning?
Yeah.
What's going on today, bud?
Oh, no, man. It's Big Friday. Tommy Mac in the biddy, Fat Tony in the biddy. Yeah, man, we're going to have a day today.
Oh, yeah.
Dempsey on assignment. I'm pretty sure he's on the golf course. If he's not out there already, he should be on his way. I think he and D-Rock were planning on
Hey, today's a nice spring day in Chicago, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's not bad. You know, as long as it's not raining, put on a coat, man.
That's right.
You'll be warm enough out there on the golf course. The sun is shining for sure. So we'll get into a couple of the questions that we've had this week, Tommy, as we really dig into it again. Our question of the day asking you to make one bold prediction for the final seven games of the Jaguars season. As we get things rolling, it's a Friday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
You're Mackin' with Tom McManus, brought to you by Renewal by Anderson, a better way to a better window on 1010XL.
Rolling along, it's a Friday edition of Jaguars Today, Tommy.
Oh yeah,
we're not gonna have you in next week.
Ah,
with the Thanksgiving holiday.
Oh, that's right.
So we'll be off on Friday, and here the last couple days, it's actually felt like it's the holidays outside. Right?
It feels good.
Yeah,
it feels good. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah,
and
no
holidays.
Doubt.
And it's a great time of year. I called it on. I think it was. Every year around this time, I call like, all right, it's the holidays, which means I'm typically having something to drink every night. And I'm eating whatever I want, and, you know, I'm still working out, but, I called it Wednesday, so I'm in.
Any special plans for Thanksgiving? What's the family
doing
for
that? Getting together with our extended family and family. All together, there'll be I think there's 80 or 60 or so. There's kids, there's babies, there's adults that were babies when I first came onto the scene, that kind of thing. So it's awesome, man. Great, great time out on Neptune Beach. Be good. How about you?
We got family in town.
Nice.
So I'll be hanging out with them for Thanksgiving as
Beautiful.
I do each year. And
This
year will be even a little bit crazier because it's World Cup time. Right?
Oh, right.
So not only do you get the triple header in the National Football League, but you got World Cup soccer, I think, starting like 5 a.m.
Wow.
On Thanksgiving Day. So I get spared the stupid parade in the name of sports.
Who's – so Buffalo, they got moved to Detroit. Who are they playing? The Browns?
No, they're playing Cleveland in Detroit.
In Detroit. And then they're playing Detroit on Thursday on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Man.
And they've said they're going to travel back to Buffalo after the game on Sunday and not just stay there.
Oh, wow.
For the game on Thursday. But we'll see about that.
I would stay.
They haven't been able to practice today.
Right.
Right?
The weather.
When I heard that they couldn't practice today, I was like, why aren't they in Detroit already?
Yeah, right.
they're going to try to get out of Buffalo today, tomorrow?
Right.
Like, that's when it's going to be at its absolute worst.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess you can drive a Greyhound through anything.
Yeah. Glad we live in Florida.
Right. Not having to deal with any of that. Mentioned, Tommy, a couple of the questions we dug into this week. Wanted to get your reaction to them.
Cool.
The first was, other than wins, what do you want to see from the Jacksonville Jaguars in the second half of the season to let you know that they are heading in the right direction?
I want to see the defense close the deal. When you got a lead, you got to hold the lead. Mm-hmm. I think four losses were blown leads. That's with all that money invested, with all that talent, no way. That is disgusting. I'm sorry. You're terrible on third down. Terrible. Again, you were terrible on third down. 70% again.
Yeah.
Washington was 70%. Others. Now, you've had games that were better. There's no doubt. But not good enough, man. Not good. That defense, you got to close the deal. How do you close the deal? You get sacks. You get pressure. Mm-hmm. You stop the run. I mean, you just get the job done. And you, I don't know. Look, I'm not inside the building, but what happens in the fourth quarter? Do you lose focus? Are you tired? Do you not know what's going on? Like, you can't, you know, I don't know. I don't know those answers, but four blown leads? I'm sorry, man. We thought this was going to be an elite defense, didn't we? And we did after week three. We thought, oh, wow, look what they've done.
Well,
right?
They were forcing turnovers like crazy.
They had seven picks in like three games, right? Yeah. It was unbelievable. They were all over the place. And now it's like, they're okay.
Well,
they're not that good.
You had Josh Allen, not that he was ever playing at an elite level necessarily in the league, but he was playing pretty well for the first 5 or 6 weeks of the year. The last 3 weeks, Tommy, I really think, and we've seen him go through stretches where he wasn't making any kind of impact on games.
Yep.
You know, we've seen that here over the last couple of years, but I don't think I've ever been more disappointed in Josh Allen over a stretch of 3 weeks than I have been these 3 weeks with the level of offensive lineman that he's been facing week to week, injuries happening in game to give him an even better opportunity, and that he's having no impact, you know, in this month, basically, for the Jags. It's disappointing, and I'm a guy who's been lighter on Josh Allen than I think a lot of people have been because I do see the pressure, right? Like, I do see him getting close a lot early on in the year, and he had some plays that were really impactful for this defense. It's gone right now. Like, I don't know where it went.
Okay. I personally would like to separate pressures from quarterback hits.
Okay.
Because pressure, you could get close and he just steps up and throws the ball or steps out and takes off for 10 yards. So what? What does that even mean? I don't even know. How many times you hit in the QB? You hit Mahomes four. Credited hits.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah.
The whole game. You gotta get to the QB. I'll tell you, I don't study Josh Allen, but when I'm watching and I'm trying to see what he's doing, he does the same kind of moves. It's like, you gotta work on your craft every day. I mean, you do. The greatest ones do. You go ask, look, I'm not just because he's a Hall of Famer, but I clearly remember Bisselli after every practice, no matter how grueling it was, working the hand pads with Jerry Palmieri, our strength coach.
Mm-hmm.
He would, Jerry would try just walk towards him. Tony would get in his pad set. Now, he didn't have his pads on. He had his, you know, his pants and shoes on. But he had his shoulder pads and helmet off. We're inside the weight room. And he's coming at him at a brisk pace. And Tony's whap, 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 doing it over and over and over and over again. Then getting on the treadmill. Then do, you know. So I don't know. Are these guys working like that?
My sense of Josh Allen is that he does. Right.
I think he's he's an effort player, but is he working on his craft? Because when you're doing the same things, Tone, and they're not working, what do you got to do? You got to switch it up.
Sure.
Just running up the field thinking you're – and he doesn't do that dip, you know, that inside natural shoulder. You almost like dipping sideways as you're coming around that tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to do other things. I don't know. To me, it's like, look, you got a ton of athletic ability. You've shown that you can be an impact player. He has. Not consistently enough for any of us, but he's shown glimpses that he can. I mean, go back to, look, even earlier this year, he was making a big impact.
Sure.
Now, the other side's got to help him, too. I mean, Trevon Walker's kind of disappeared. Now, someone's like, well, he leads the league in pressure. Something like, okay, whatever. I don't care about that, but whatever. But where's he? Where's any of them? Really? Roy Robertson Harrison, yeah, has he hit the QB?
In the middle. Yeah.
Has he hit the QB? Has Foley hit the QB? You know what I mean? Devon Hamilton has on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody really made an impact anywhere along that defensive line, like consistently?
DeJuan Smoot's been the most consistent
and Arden,
guy.
I'll give Arden number two.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then maybe Josh three. So it's not, look, does Josh have to get it done? Yeah. But that whole, you know, it works together, Tone. That whole line works together. The two outsides work together. The two insides work together. And the two insides work together with the two outsides. It goes together.
How much, as a player, does, like I was just discussing with Josh Allen, the opportunities of the last 3 weeks, right? With the guy that you're facing, you know, injured guys, third string left tackles, that kind of thing, and you're not getting anything done. How much does that weigh on a player potentially week to week when you're not having the game that you expect out of yourself trying to get ready for the next week or once you get into the next week's game?
A, what is his expectation? I don't know. And B, what's his preparation?
Okay.
I mean, that's the things you don't know. And look, today you can't practice like we used to practice. You got to put in the extra work, even more than anybody did back then. And I'm talking tendencies. I'm talking everything. You got to know everything. Does it weigh? Look, it weighs on you when you get into a rut. It's no different than a baseball player that's, you know, struggling at the plate, right? You get into this little dip. You're like, how am I going to get out? But you're athletic enough to get out. You're a good enough talent to get out if you're Josh Allen. But it's not, again, it's not just him. And I'll tell you another thing. Look, I'll bring it back to Caldwell. Look, you're going to play zone and your four guys ain't getting there. It's counterproductive.
You're gonna get cut
like,
up.
It's not going to. It'll never work, especially with a guy like Mahomes that can carve anybody up in any kind of coverage, unless what? Unless you pressure him.
Yeah.
So another thing that can help that front four is bringing more guys and giving them more opportunities to get that one-on-one, to get that, you know, get that opportunity to make something to happen. I'll tell you a couple things we haven't seen lately. Those X stunts where the outside guy comes underneath,
yeah,
have we?
We did it quite a bit earlier.
We were kicking butt with it, right? Coming right off that edge. Remember, we talked about that's the only way it works. You got to come right off that edge.
Walker had the good rush on Mahomes. That was one of the QB hits they had.
Yep.
Was on that third down play where he came in and got him right in the chest.
That's right.
And that's the pass that he completed on the sideline because Mahomes is great.
Right.
Right? Like, still made that play downfield, but it's one of the few times that we saw them run that kind of stunt this week that I can recall, and it was a good stunt. It worked.
Yeah.
You hit the quarterback. He made a play.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes, too. You're not going against practice dummies.
Right.
Right? These are real people that you're doing these kind of things against. Then while we're talking defense here, Tommy, what is your reaction to how much Chad Muma has seen his play time increase the last 2 weeks? He was playing 40% of the defensive snaps this week against Kansas City.
Well, they've – at least for the game, they lost trust in Devin, you know, that he's a liability out there. And I don't mean from a physical standpoint, but from not knowing the coverage, whatever the deal is. Now, Lagerman was telling me how they're playing a half-man, half-zone thing that confused the heck out of even me talking about it.
A matchup zone.
Right? Yeah. I'm like, just play man if you got to take your guy. I don't know. Anyway, so, you know, I'm sure it's confusing. I'm sure it is, but that's the job is to know. And that's another thing about working on your craft. Like, are you in your playbook? Are you studying the tendencies? Are you watching the film that it takes? I mean, it's funny, you know, we think like football is just like this glamorous, you know, and it is when you win on Sunday, it's glorious. But during the week, it's a grind, and it should be. That's your it's your profession.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You don't just get to play the game.
No, you just or go to practice and go to the weight room and all this. No, you gotta know exactly what's going on every single – and that's got to be internal accountability and accountability from the staff saying, hey, man, you – and look, again, I'll credit Doug. That was a first-round pick he had to sit out.
Yeah.
There's some discussion going on with Trent Baalke after that, trust me. You know, or before it, just saying, hey, I got to sit this kid, you know, and they did. So, but Muma's fine. You know, I think he'll get better as he gets more comfortable. I don't know how much more. Look, athletically, Devin's ridiculous. He's special in that regard. Maybe you play him at a different spot. Maybe you put him in a – and that's the thing. Like, we talk about that on offense, you know, simplify. Well, on defense, look, if guys are having trouble figuring it out, and maybe it's just one, and they moved him to the sideline, right, if it was Lloyd. But
yeah,
if there are multiple guys
– Logs hadn't been great in coverage either. So you know, it's just an issue at that spot right now.
Yeah, well – you know, you're in the middle of everything, and you got a lot of crossing patterns, and you got to count a lot. You know what I mean? You go 3-2-1, here it goes. Oh, the three becomes one, and then he pivots back out and goes out, and then now two becomes one.
And and you're combining that with, as you said, this zone matchup, which may be confusing them further. Yeah, that may be what Caldwell wants to do. You know, that's what he wants to do in his defense.
I don't know.
The guys aren't executing it right now. Well, I mean, we saw multiple times, you mentioned the first, just guys running, not anybody within 20 yards of them on the field. Like, that can't happen.
Like, you take the hopscotch touchdown, right?
Darius Toney, yeah.
Yeah, he should have done the hopscotch in the end zone. He really should have. He had a great chance to do it. But
or a pogo
he
stick,
comes
something.
From, yeah, or something. He comes from the other side of the formation. Comes out, just bellies out. Hey.
Yeah.
Yo, Pat.
They didn't see
Nobody's here. Can you believe it? I'm wide the freak open. Yeah. Hit me.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be kidding me. Somebody, you don't see that guy coming. You know if there's a flat play, you have the flat.
Mm-hmm.
It was a man, clearly, because nobody ran with the guy.
Sure.
So they're in zone. Well, zone means what? I've got somebody in the flat. I got somebody in the curl, deep third, deep half, whatever.
Yeah. That stuff isn't getting communicated and executed right now.
And that's the job. And that's not self-inflicted. That's
inexplicable things happening to your defense.
Like, not doing your job.
It's just you're not doing the job. I found something from Daniel Jeremiah yesterday, and when I saw it, I was like, I wonder what Tommy thinks of this.
Okay.
We'll get into that on the other side because it is talking about specifically run defense in the National Football League right now. We'll talk about that when we return. Tony Smith, Tom McManus, ET here with you. It's a Friday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Mac in the Middle, Tom McManus. Brought to you by Renewal by Anderson. A better way to a better window on 1010XL.
I would do my Biggie impression, but it's not worth putting on air.
Ah. Can you do it? Do it. Why not?
With this one.
We'll make it that, like, Masked Singer, but on the radio.
No. I mentioned
Papa Twist Cabbage. I know that.
Yeah,
on Instinct. My Detroit players. Run, run, run. I know that stuff. Come on.
I mentioned before the break that I saw a tweet from Daniel Jeremiah that I wanted to get your reaction to, Tommy.
Okay, cool.
And the tweet was about run defense in the league. Okay. And I don't know if you've seen. I'll go through some of the rushing numbers in the league, just to give you an idea of why this reaction is happening. NFL rushing yards per game this year, 121.8 yards per game, which is up from 115, essentially, last year. It is up.
Okay.
That's the highest that rushing yards in NFL games have been since 1987.
Wow. Interesting.
When it was at 123.9, basically 124. Passing yards are down by about the same difference as the rushing yards are up.
Okay.
At least this year, 237 to 244. 1985, by the way, is the only season in the last 40 years that ranks in the top 35 in rushing yards per game in the 102-year history of the National Football League.
Wow.
Like, it is clearly become a passing league. We've known that.
Yep.
But it does feel like there is a transition happening to some degree with the rushing yards going up, which is good for running backs and run games across the league. I think it also speaks to something that Daniel Jeremiah tweeted out. He tweeted, for the last decade, personnel departments have lowered the value on old-school, two-gap, run-stuffing defensive tackles. He says, I think that's going to change in upcoming drafts. So many teams playing shell coverage, light boxes to limit explosive plays. That skill set has value once again of the run-stuffing defensive tackle. And you do see it in the league, right? The Jags would be an example of it.
Yeah.
You know, they are
Doug
light.
Made that clear, right? I don't want too many nose guards on his team, right? Remember he said that in camp.
Sure.
Right? He's like, no, we're not going to. We're only going to have two. So I don't know. Go ask the Titans if they like Jeffrey Simmons. Go ask the Eagles if they like Fletcher Cox. I would like somebody like that on our team. Look, I think, you know, one thing Doug does say, you know, to close the game, you got to stop the run. I mean, you have to. But here's the problem. They put you in nickel, and you don't have guys that can really, like, get off blocks. They're gonna gash you.
Yeah.
They got a hat on a hat. They get a hat on a hat. It's hard to win.
Yeah.
It's hard to win on that. So if you don't have somebody there or multiple guys there that can make a difference, because what are you going to do? Look, if you're shutting down my pass, say I spread you out and you're shutting down my pass. Well, then what am I going to do? I'm going to spread you out and run up the gut and see if you can handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And a lot of times you don't unless you put that extra man down, and then we go back to the pass when you do that. So it's challenging to stop the run when you're in a nickel-type defense because you don't have that extra player. You know, in a base defense, you got number seven sitting there on wherever, the safety, the other backer, what have you. Typically, there's somebody uncovered. Doesn't mean they always make the play because they got to get to the ball, but there's nobody uncovered in nickel or dime defense.
Sure.
So you're very vulnerable to give up yards in the run game when they get you to that.
Yeah,
that type
I think
of defense.
Guys like Jeffrey Simmons and Fletcher Cox are guys that are always going to work, right? Because they give you pass rush.
Look who the Eagles just picked up.
And, you know, those are guys that, you know, more – I think the discussion is more about guys like Ted Washington, you know, who may give you a little bit of pass rush, but what he was a fire hydrant.
Right.
In the middle of your defense. Can't be moved.
Right.
You got to do something to work around
in
that
what
guy.
Defense, though?
Yeah.
3-4.
Sure.
He was a 3-4 nose.
Right. And I think NFL defenses have gotten away even from that. It's like, well, he doesn't give us pass rush. What can we do with that?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it does feel like the NFL has made a little bit of a transition to that, and they are having to play lighter boxes because of all the nickel that defenses are getting forced into and dime defense that they're getting forced into.
You want to get to the QB. You're trying to get to the QB.
Right. Yep. Like, that's become the entire game, and I think the rushing trend tells you that even offenses are saying, okay, let's take what they're giving us. A little bit more than we've been willing to even in the past several years.
Right. And if my guys are bigger than them, let's beat up on them for a little bit and see if they can stop us.
Sure.
You know, I mean, and that's why, look, you got to have a strong run defense. You have to. Yes, you got to pressure the quarterback. Yes, you got to affect the quarterback. There's no doubt about that. But if they can run on you, they're just going to run on you. And they're just going to do it. And they're going to test your will. It's like I said earlier, what I've been saying since Philadelphia. Philadelphia was down 14-0, and they went and said, you know what? Let's see if they can stop the run.
Yeah.
We're going to start pounding the ball. And guess what? They started pounding them.
Yeah.
They started pushing them around, moving around. Then you're like, oh, man, it was – I remember. Everyone was talking about the turnovers, and rightfully so. And I was like, I'm more concerned with – they didn't answer the bell. They got punched in the mouth, and they did not punch back.
Yeah.
And then you see with the Giants in that fourth quarter, same kind of deal. Start get pushing around. You know, you saw it last week. The Chiefs pushed them around. Like, that's you can't win. That's not a winning defense.
Yeah.
If you get pushed around, you're not doing anything.
It's about creating and exposing favorable matchups for offense. And if you can get those in the run game, then that's where you take advantage of it, right?
Damn
I think I saw years ago Mike Leach, the head coach at Mississippi State, that was asked about, you know, what do you consider balance, you know, from a run-pass perspective in your offense? And he's like, that's such a stupid question. He was like,
90-10.
Right. He was like, you do what works.
Right.
Right. And if you need to hand it, he's like, you know, the wing T worked. Right?
Right?
Like, it worked. And if you can make that work for you, that's balance. Right? Yeah. The balance is getting them off balance. That's what balance
is. That's right.
And it does feel like there is a transition in the league going back to if our running the ball is what's going to keep them off balance.
Yeah.
Is they have to adjust to that. Now we can loosen up them on the back end again when they have to bring that extra man to the box. That's become the league.
Let me tell you, there's nothing worse than being on – the defensive side of the ball, and that opposing team is pounding the rock, and you can't stop.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse. It demoralizes you. It knocks the wind out of your sails. I mean, it's like you got to start guessing. You got to start, you know, jumping gaps, you know, that kind of stuff, man. It's Nothing worse. I mean, look, balance. Yeah, you got to have balance. And whatever does work, run sets up the pass. Pass sets up the run. But you look at Tennessee. Look how they win. They got a bruiser of a back.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, by the way, have any of you guys seen Brandon Jacobs in public ever? Like
no.
With the, no? He was at Judy.
Huge guy.
He was at Judy Coughlin's life ceremony, you know, celebration of life, which was fantastic. God rest your soul. And I'm looking at him like, oh, my gosh, he's like a defensive end.
He's huge.
And he's still in great shape. I was like, man, I sit next to Pete Mitch, who played for the Giants, you know, after leaving here. He's like, I'm like, Mitch, is that Brandon Jacobs? He's like, I'm like, oh, my gosh, that guy is enormous. Holy cow. But, no, look at the Titans. What do? They ride Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Stop us. And if not, we got a good enough quarterback that can throw it around. We got a good enough weapons to throw it around.
Well, they did it last night.
Yeah.
To Green Bay. And what Green Bay had to do was start playing six-man defensive lines.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they were forced into doing that to try to stop Derrick Henry.
6'2 stack monster.
Right. That's what they were doing. And it created all these one-on-one opportunities for these very underwhelming Titans wide receivers. But it's one-on-one all over the field because you have to commit to Derrick Henry.
Yep.
And Ryan Tannehill, I don't think he's great, but he's good enough to take advantage of that.
Totally.
Right? Yeah, when given the opportunity. Yeah. Oh, and you saw it last night. We were discussing during the break. That Titans team, man.
Yep.
You know, and I heard the discussion on the drill yesterday where Jeff was going through, here's the schedule coming up for the Titans. If they can lose a couple of these and say the Jags come out of their bye week and win a couple, they can be back in it, right? Like, they could be a game down of the Titans heading up to Nashville for that first matchup. And it's that's not the Titans.
Right.
Right. They're just, there's something about that team.
Yep.
They are just tough as nails.
I asked you during the break, because I was asking my neighbor last night, I'm like, when you think of the Titans, what's the first thing you think of? Oh, they're tough.
They're tough.
Right. They're always physical. They're always tough. Why? Is it from the ownership? Is it, you know what I mean? Like, these are the kind of players I want. This is the kind of team I want. Is it from just the head coach or the GM?
I mean, Vrabel you know is what certainly I mean? That guy.
Vrabel's that guy. Fisher, although didn't play like that because he was a Chicago Bear. I remember him as a special team guy. But that was their mantra then, too.
Sure.
We got a big back. We got Steve McNair. We can throw it. We can run it. We got a big offensive line. We're going to get after you on, you know, physical. How do they keep that for decades? And then you ask, well, what first comes to mind for our Jacksonville Jaguars? What is it? I said inconsistency.
Yeah.
And it has been for two decades.
And I said disappointing. Right? Yeah. Like, and those are both essentially the same thing.
Right.
You know?
But you made a great point. Del Rio's teams would smack you in the mouth. They were a physical.
You knew.
Physical. Both knew. Sides of the ball. Their O-line was tough, and their D-line was, and their defense was very tough.
Yeah. When you came in every week knowing you were going to have to deal with Henderson and Stroud.
Yep.
I mean, it was middle of that offensive line, bring your lunch pail that
week. No doubt.
They're
those
going
guys.
To beat you to death.
Yep.
Like, that was who they were going to be.
Right. And it was Wanniri, God rest his soul, Uche, right?
Yep.
No,
And they
no,
ran
no,
the
no,
ball.
No, 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 no. Uche.
Easter
Uche's,
was in the middle of that
it wasn't
offensive
Uche who
line,
passed.
Too.
Who was the guard that passed away? Phenomenal guy. You see his pictures right here on the wall.
Yeah. I forget the name.
If some of you guys, I know, well, it's not Uche one here. I'm sorry, Uche. I see on Twitter, actually. If Twitter's still alive, wink, wink. But they did. And then they had Meester. Of course, they had Chris Naoli. And they had Vince Manoway. Vince Manoway. Vince Manoway. I mean, those three were beasts. And on top of that, you had Fred Taylor. And by the way, that little fire hydrant MJD would run your ass over too. I mean, it was a physical team. And then after that, it was kind of, you know. I mean, Doug's Saxonville was physical that year.
Yeah.
You know, Tom helped build part of that with who they brought in. Yeah. Obviously, it crumbled.
But even
after.
That felt flashy, right? Like, even that 2017 defense. Calais Campbell doesn't feel like a flashy player.
Yeah, and Ngakoue was really good because that next, you know, 18, their defense was good.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense wasn't very good, but their defense was still very good and very physical.
For sure, yeah.
So, you know, just got to get – I want that consistency.
Well, and I think it speaks to what is the identity of the 2022 Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, I mean, and I think you hit the word. It's inconsistent.
You ever seen – I know you have – Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross?
Yeah.
What's coffee for?
Winners.
Closers.
Closers.
Remember that?
Yeah.
What are you getting? I'm having a cup of coffee. No, no, no. Coffee's for closers. You don't get the coffee unless you close, right?
Yeah.
They don't close.
Set of steak knives.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. But you know what I mean? That's
third place, fired.
Yeah, right? Yeah. What do I drive? Yeah. You. That's what I drive. No, but seriously, like they don't close the deal. That's been them, you know, and then they fall back on this, well, we're one step away, but look at us here. No. Where's that attitude?
Sure.
That's an attitude. It's not just an attitude, because you got to have more than just the attitude, but that's being ultra-focused, ultra-in-shape, ultra-hungry. You know what I mean? You want to win. You're closing. It's one thing to say, we all want to win. Of course we do. Who doesn't? But who can close the deal?
Yeah.
I'm not just talking football. I'm just saying, like, in general, like, you got to close the damn deal. Shut the door down. Your offense gives you a lead. Are you kidding me? And this young crap, whatever, they're not that young. You got plenty of veterans on this team. Plenty that have played a lot of football.
No doubt.
Need to be more. You got to close the deal. That means everybody, but specifically the defense, man. If that your young QB, who's getting better, still got ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
But he gives you a lead, and how do you reward him? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how it works, right? You want to talk about balance on a team? Your defense bails out your offense. Your offense bails out your defense. Your defense steps up when you have a lead. Your offense comes back and gives you a chance to win when you're down.
Which they've done several times.
Yeah. Right.
And the defense, as you said, has come up short. Yep. The Chad and Sandy real estate question of the day, asking you today, make one bold prediction for the final 7 games of the Jacksonville Jaguars season. We'll get to some answers to that a little bit later. Have one more question from this week that I still want to throw at you.
All right, cool.
Tommy Mack, as we continue along, also still have the gems from around the league. We'll take a look at it was a newsy day around the National Football League. A game being moved, everything that was going on. We'll get into that as we get into the second hour of the program this morning. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Tom McManus. Brought to you by Renewal by Anderson. A better way to a better window on 1010XL.
Tony Smith, Tom McManus, E2ET here with you on Jaguars Today. Dempsey on assignment. He'll be back in on Tuesday. So he's out today. He's out Monday. And obviously next week is a short week.
Yeah.
So he'll be in for a couple days. And
then we'll be out again
as we did the Breakfast Bowl draft yesterday.
Okay.
I know Demps took DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know if you noticed, DT. DeAndre Hopkins did not practice on Wednesday.
Ha!
With a hamstring injury. Ooh. It wasn't one of those rest days. And right. I'm locked in on this because I own DeAndre Hopkins in enough places that right. I need to know what's going on with Hopkins day to day. But did not practice yesterday. So that's one to keep an eye on as we go into the weekend here.
Yeah.
And D-Hop, he's just one of those players that I follow that I like. It's just something about Nuke that I just like him.
Oh, he doesn't like great.
Me. Although he ain't like the Jaguars neither.
Yeah. You know this story, right?
He blocked you, right?
Yeah. As far as I know, he's the only person that's ever blocked me on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I can't see any of his stuff because I can't even see his profile.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's just I can't see anything about DeAndre Hopkins. And I know it's because of a joke I made about Jalen Ramsey being his dad years ago, right, when all that was going on.
Right.
I said something in jest as they were getting ready for a game that week. He saw it, said, I don't have to deal with this. I don't blame him, right? Yeah. Like, I get it. You don't want that in your sphere.
Yeah.
So block me. It's whatever. But as far as I know, it's the only person that's ever blocked me. It is weird that it's DeAndre Hopkins because
why?
How often am I even going in to see anything about DeAndre Hopkins? But I can remember a couple of years ago I went on and I was like, hey, let's go see, because he was dealing with something. I was like, let's see what's going on, see if he had anything. I guess not. I looked at Mike. I was like, can you see what's going on with DeAndre Hopkins? Because I can't.
Right.
But he blocked me.
I don't know. I'm sure it's hard to stay off Twitter if you're a player, but you probably should just stay off Twitter. Just stay off social media. I remember Goff would be like, don't even listen to the media. Just don't even listen to them.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Listen to me, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard today, especially. I mean, Cam got on Twitter, I think. It was like defended his – and I don't know. It just seems odd that he'd be that far downfield on a
– yeah.
Near the goal line, too. Like, that should shorten it up even more, I would think, right?
Sure. But it would take some pretty strong discipline to keep yourself off it.
Oh,
you know, like even when you were playing, it would be impossible to not know.
I wouldn't have been able to go out four nights a week. So I'm glad social media wasn't around. That would have sucked. I didn't stay in.
But it's one of those things where Tom, it's even like telling you, don't read your own clippings. Don't worry about it. I'll let you know what you need to know. It's like, yeah, but I'm going to read the paper.
Yeah, you read it anyway, of course.
Like, I know what they're saying about the team, and I know what they're saying about me if they are saying anything.
Yep.
It's impossible to ignore any of that. And now with social media,
you
don't have to wait for a member of the media to put a microphone in front of you.
Well, and you think about like back then with just newspaper, like you didn't read the comments section.
No.
Now that's all you read. You know, what are people saying about it?
Yeah.
Good or bad?
Yeah.
But, you know, it would take a lot of discipline. But nonetheless, you know, that was a big play. So that just to real quick. So that was an RPO called.
Yep.
How do you ever know it's not a pass? If you know what I mean? Like, how are you not down the field all the time?
I think the whole thing is you got to be disciplined and look, if it breaks, it breaks. Yeah. Kind of thing.
Like, so if he went maybe two steps less, wouldn't be a big deal?
Correct.
He was pretty far away from the line. I mean,
he was like, in the end zone, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in the end zone. Wasn't he?
Yeah, close to the end zone.
Yeah, so it was like 5 yards downfield.
Yeah, he was way downfield.
See that? Something's not right there.
Yeah.
Come on, Cam.
Like, yeah.
Whatever. That was a big part of it. That was a big part. I mean, you talked about it in the beginning of the show, you know, the field goal is that, you know, you hit Kirk makes that first catch. I think, you know, that hit him right in the numbers too.
Certainly. And he had a monster game.
He did.
It could have been one of those
phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
Yeah. He had an opportunity for that on that first drive. I mean, the whole thing, you know, we've been over it over and over this week. You know, you get the onside kick to start the game.
Yeah.
You hit that play. Who knows?
Right.
You know,
no,
who knows? But, and as I've said over and over, Kansas City never had to go.
Right.
In the second half of that game, they never had to go. I think they could have if they needed to.
Right.
Yeah. Based on the things we've been talking about with this defense. If they needed to, I think they could have found what they needed, the Chiefs ultimately, to win the game. But I would love to have come out of that game with Trevor Lawrence having thrown for 330 yards and three touchdowns and toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes and what that could potentially mean, because he played a game well enough that could have, maybe even should have been the discussion we were coming out of that game, you know, for Trevor Lawrence. And we're still saying he played well this week, right? And he did.
Yeah, he did.
He played well
this
kind of week. But I think that was
last 2 weeks
opportunity to be a really big game for everybody on that side of the ball. It was a good game for the offense this week.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't miss opportunities against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Here's the thing, and it's easier said than done, but your coach has the balls to do an onside kick to start the game. Phenomenal, right?
Pay it off for him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, come on. And I was thinking while I was getting a drink in the hallway, like, they don't have that killer.
Yeah.
That killer, you know, man, my coach just did an onside kick. We're going to reward him with a touchdown. Yeah. Let's go. Ultra focused, ultra ready. We're all dialed in to making this thing happen, right? Let's go reward the coach.
Yeah.
Let's go. You know what? We got a lead. Hey, D, let's go. Ultra focus. Everyone knows what they're doing. Full speed. We got to close the deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's honestly, that's how I have felt about a lot of the fourth down decisions from Doug Peterson this year.
Yeah.
Is pay it off for the coach who believes in you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he continues to express his confidence in you to get it done in this situation. Pay it off for the guy. You know, every now and then, pay it off for the guy that he's willing to rely on you.
Yep.
Like, even the interception that Trevor Lawrence threw against Denver in the red zone, right? And where we're like, why would you do it again?
Right.
Because the coach's confidence is not going to appear to have been shaken in his quarterback.
Yep.
And if he feels like this is the play we should run in this situation, I'm calling it without hesitation. Yep. I believe in the guy, right? Like, his confidence hasn't been shaken in any of these guys, and he continues to express it week to week. Pay it off.
Well,
for the guy,
again,
which is not something they've done enough.
No, they haven't. And again, I think a lot of that's with, you know, yeah, I'm going to call it again, but I'm going to make sure my quarterback knows I'm either running it or I'm throwing it away if nothing's
there. Have we learned the lesson?
Like,
right.
Done. Like, if you do it twice, I'm probably not going to give you another shot at it for a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that wouldn't deter me at all. But, again, that's another thing. Like, is that – what is that? You know, it's games ago, so who really cares? You know what I mean? But what is that? Was that a lack of focus? Was that some tunnel vision? Was that what? Regardless, you can't do it again, right? You got to reward. It was like I was saying earlier. Your offense has a lead in the fourth quarter. Reward them.
Yeah.
Your quarterback just brought you back. Reward him.
And by the way,
you're the leader. I mean, come on, man. You're supposed to be, remember, elite.
Yeah.
Elite.
And since that moment, Tommy, Trevor's been really good in that part of the field.
Yeah, he is.
Right? Like, I do think the lesson has been learned. We'll see if they put him in that kind of situation again to have to make that exact decision again. But they're way more efficient here in the last 3 weeks than they had been in that area of the field.
He's playing within the offense, but he's also playing a little bit of that street Trevor ball, which I like. You know, hey, man, part of the game is running. You're a weapon. Don't back down from that. If you don't have you got nothing there, you got a room to go, they all go in man, then they take off, and you can get 15. That's playing, baby, because that gets you in that – feeling good, you know?
No doubt.
Feeling good. I'm in the game. I'm making plays with my feet. I'm making plays with my arm. We're making plays together. You know, confidence, momentum, the whole thing.
For sure. Yeah. I got a question for Tommy Mack about Coach Peterson that we'll get into on the other side. We still got the news from around the National Football League as well as we continue along. It's a Friday edition of Jaguars Today here on 1010XL.
In the Middle, Tom McManus. Brought to you by Renewal by Anderson. A better way to a better window on 1010XL.
Tony Smith, Tom McManus, ET here with you. As we head into the holidays, man, we got Thanksgiving coming up next week. Christmas is a month away, essentially now. And the year flies by, doesn't it?
It sure does. Great time of the year.
Yeah.
I like the chill and the weather, too. It's nice.
I love it.
Yeah. Nice little change.
I love it.
People will be complaining soon.
It's a little too cold to just leave the windows open at the house.
Yeah. You know? My house was cold this morning.
Yeah,
boy.
Yeah.
Turn the heat on.
Yeah. A little bit. It's a good time of year to have that bonfire if you got access to it.
Yeah.
Somewhere. No doubt about that. Before we get to the question I had for you about Doug Peterson that we asked this week, let's get out to the phone lines for the first time this morning. And FanCam has dialed us up at 641-1010 as he does each week when you join us on Friday. Tommy, what's going on this morning, FanCam?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, FT. And I do indeed have a bonfire going just about every day this time of year.
Oh, yeah. What's up, GM? How you doing?
Not much. The waves are up, Tommy. 3 in a row for the longboards. We're rolling. We took out the league-leading Cristiano last week. Props to the star Cristiano, and we're ready to rock down the stretch. So keep your eyes over your shoulder there, FT. We're coming to get you.
All right. Good luck to you, sir.
Love
yeah.
It.
And Tommy, man, you need to step away from the ledge a little bit. Your blood pressure's up a little. Drop by the gardens, and we'll do a little. I got to make sure I have Guinness in the kegerator, and we'll grill a little steak and tuna, and we'll kick back, and we'll discuss the variables in play here. But I've never been more convinced that this organization's on the right path, and Peterson's the right guy to be steering the ship, and I'm pretty excited for the future.
Good to hear it.
Yeah.
Good to hear, Fan Cam. Appreciate you dialing us up this morning. And I'm pretty confident, right? The question I wanted to put to you, Tommy, we asked earlier this week, what grade would you give head coach Doug Peterson for his first 10 games on the job?
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
With the Jacksonville Jaguars. So if you had to assign it a grade, what would you give him?
I'd give him a C.
Okay.
Yeah. Give him a C. You're 3-7.
Sure.
I'm sorry. You know, I like him, obviously. And I agree with Fan that they're heading in the right direction. I got to see a little more, you know, that just taking the step is, you know, that's great for high school, but we need the finished product in the NFL. And, you know, they're working at it. I know they're working at it. I know they want to do it. I want them to do it. But, yeah, I think C's fair, you know. It's been okay at times. It's been really bad at times.
Sure.
And I don't like – and he may get mad if he ever hears this, but I think they're undisciplined. I do. I don't think you can win with an undisciplined football team.
Certainly makes it harder.
Wicked hard.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully that changes. Look, the players got the bye week. They want to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to have some time off, and they should, you know, regroup, get the body healthy as you can. But they got to focus, man. And I don't know if it's there. I know the coaches, they work their butts off, right? I know they do. And the players can only be there for so long. It's a big, you know, you're not, you know,
sure.
You can only do so much, but that's why you got to do more as a player. There's no way. I'm sorry. There is no excuse, none at all whatsoever, if every single player on that team, especially my starters, don't know what they're doing on every single play. I don't care if it's motion. Now, will there be on occasion during the game, like, wow, we didn't, what was that? Yeah, then the coach has got to gather, like, all right, this is what they're doing here. They show you the pictures. Yeah. This is what we're going to do to combat. All right, everybody good? You on the same page? All right, cool. Let's go and execute it. You know what I mean? That does happen. But for the most part, nah. Know your assignment. Know exactly what you're doing every single play.
Yep.
And so work on your technique, for crying out loud.
So a C for you, Tommy, for Doug Peterson. Yeah. And I'm with you and with Fan Cam, right? Like, I do feel good about the future.
Yeah.
For this football team, but we're having a discussion about the first 10 games and the last 7 games and what the expectation should be for this football team. And I don't know. I think you can point to the progress that they've made over last season and the improvement, obviously, that they have at head coach and that they have at quarterback going from year one to year two for Trevor Lawrence. Like, it's that should be pointed out.
Yeah.
Right. That it's there, that I feel like it's real, and that I do think it's going to pay dividends at some point in the near future for this football team.
Yep.
They're still 3-7.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, they're still 3-7, and they've had an opportunity to be pretty easily 5-5.
Yeah.
6-4. You know, you don't have to debate very hard to get them to 7-3. You know, based on the first 10 games of the season.
Just give them, like,
but
500, right?
But 3-7 is what they are,
that's
right?
What they
that's what they've earned to this point this year. So I don't think C is unfair. I gave them a B more because of what we were talking about the last segment too, right? The consistency of the confidence that he has in his guys that I think long-term is going to pay dividends for the guys specifically that he has been willing to show that confidence in, like Trevor Lawrence. Like, I think that's going to pay off big for this football team at some point in the future, but it hasn't yet. And so I think it's fair to knock the grade because it hasn't happened yet. That's fair.
But it has to for them, for him and Balky. Trevor has to be that guy.
Sure.
If you're going to stick around for a long time.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? So I would have all the confidence. So look, the kid's got all the tools. He's getting better. That's fine. But at the end of the day, you are what your record is.
No doubt.
You know, I mean, I don't know. Nobody remembers who loses in the championship game. You know what I mean?
No.
They forget. Maybe not your fan base, but overall, they don't. Who lost the AFC championship game in 2013? I don't know. You know what I mean? It's not even how you lost.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
If you don't think it stings thinking about our losses in championship games that would have went to the Super Bowl, you're sadly mistaken. But at the end of the day, we did not get it done.
Yeah.
We couldn't close the deal.
Yeah, who were the championship games? Was it Kansas City lost to Cincinnati, I think, after they beat
last
Buffalo?
Last year, right. Yep, good memory.
And Tampa.
Was it Tampa?
Was it Tampa? Or was that in the divisional round?
Shoot, I don't
know. Who won last year, the Rams?
The Rams.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Tampa, I think.
I know.
Because it was New Orleans.
Was it
in the
divisional round or the conference championship where they had the big comeback, the Bucks, where they almost came back and beat the Rams?
Isn't that in the championship?
Yeah, I don't know. See, I'm glad I'm not the only one with CTE out here.
Well, I think it speaks to your point.
Yeah, right.
Who remembers the guy who lost?
You don't.
Right? And I had to go through the whole progression of my head in the AFC. I was like, Kansas City beat Buffalo.
Right.
Right? And then the next week they got to play Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that progression through the playoffs, and that's who they beat in the championship game. But I had to go through that to get to that. But I remember who played in the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I'll remember who lost the Super Bowl, but conference championship?
Yeah.
Poof.
Right. You forget. So you'll forget how they lost the games. You're just
no doubt.
Like, there's their record. What is it?
No doubt.
You know, when they show the coach's record after three, 4 years, it's the record. That's it. They don't sit there and be like, well, you know, this happened, that happened. By the way, real quick, The Athletic had an article about Urban. Did you see that? I don't subscribe, no. So I didn't read it.
No.
But talking about like how he tried to instill fear, like how come nobody kicked his ass? I mean, seriously, not one veteran is like, yo, I'm gonna punch you if you don't, you know. I mean, you can't be coming. A college coach coming in with that kind of an attitude.
Didn't work.
Needs to get jacked up into the locker like they That's used to sure. do in grammar yeah. school when yeah. you got in trouble.
Yeah.
Take the paddle out.
Yeah. Always the threat of that violence.
I mean, seriously? Yeah. First of all, you don't even look imposing. Who are you scaring?
Right.
I mean, you probably never been in a fight in your whole life, and if you did, you know, you probably sucker punch somebody. You know what I mean? I mean, who's he scaring? I'd be like, get out of here.
Tom McManus says Urban Meyer looks like a sucker punch guy.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Right. Let's take a look at some of the news from around the National Football League with Gems Around the NFL.
Now, Gems Around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
The NFL has announced that the game this week between the Cleveland Browns and the Buffalo Bills has been moved from Buffalo to Detroit because of a major snowstorm that could drop up to 4 feet of snow on the Buffalo area this weekend, today and tomorrow. The Philadelphia Eagles have signed a free agent defensive lineman named Ndamukong Suh. Suh, now 35 years old, had spent the last 3 seasons with the Buccaneers, was expected to likely sign with a contender late in the year after not agreeing to a deal with anyone in free agency. Well, now we know he's landed in Philadelphia. The Kansas City Chiefs have placed wide receiver Mecole Hardman on their injured reserve list as he continues to deal with an abdominal injury that kept him out of their game last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Baltimore head coach John Harbaugh sounded confident on Wednesday that tight end Mark Andrews and running back Gus Edwards would likely return this week. Both were limited in practice yesterday. L.A. Chargers wide receivers Keenan Allen and Mike Williams were both limited on Thursday. 3 of the top 4 wide receivers on the Broncos depth chart have been unable to practice this week. Jerry Jeudy, K.J. Hamler, Kendall Hinton all missed practice all week. So we'll see if any of them will be available for the game this weekend. Pittsburgh safety Minkah Fitzpatrick returned to the practice field after dealing with appendicitis last week and around the AFC South this weekend. The 4-5-1 Indianapolis Colts host the 8-1 Philadelphia Eagles, who are coming off their first loss of the year on Monday Night Football this week. And the 5-5 Washington Commanders, who beat Philadelphia on Monday, are at the 1-7-1 Houston Texans, both games Sunday at 1 o'clock. And the Titans obviously won last night over the Green Bay Packers to get to 7-3.
That 5-5 sounds so much better, doesn't it? Oh,
you ain't kidding. You ain't kidding.
That's all right. We got more football left to be played. Let's see what happens. I mean, Baltimore's going to be tough out. I don't think we're beating Baltimore. I just don't. I don't think we're going to be able to stop Lamar. I think Andrews, if healthy's tough. They're another tight end. That's pretty darn good. You know, they're good. That's another team that's typically a physical football team.
Sure.
So, I don't know. I hope they can, but it's a tall order.
It is a tall order.
The rest of the schedule is tall order. It's not like, I mean, can I give you my bold prediction?
Yeah.
They only win one of the last 7.
Ugh.
I know. It sounds awful, and I don't want that to happen, but I don't – maybe Texans, maybe. Maybe Detroit. I think Detroit could put up a lot of points. Jets defense has gone from, I was just reading, from the worst to, like, top 10.
Mm-hmm.
They've dropped 10 points off their per game scoring allowed. That's big.
It's pretty good, yeah.
You know, they've got – man, that Sauce Gardner. God.
He's been great.
Don't get me wrong. Having Quinton Williams up front, that helps a ton. But still, he's a baller.
It's what it looks like when your draft picks play at the level that you expect
them
to play.
Right,
right. They pay it off for you.
Yeah. I mean, Dallas, you think we're going to beat Dallas? You know what I mean? I mean, Dallas isn't a world beater, but I don't know. I hope they get on a run, but
that'd be a long final 7 weeks.
It would.
If they only win one of them, Tommy. That is the question we're asking listeners out there today. Make one bold prediction for the final 7 games of the Jaguars season. We'll get to some of your answers to that question when we return and put a bow on a Friday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Tom McManus. Brought to you by Renewal by Andersen. A better way to a better window on 1010XL.
Tony Smith, Tom McManus, ET here with you. 1 segment left to go here on Jaguars Today for the week. Want to get to some answers for the Chad and Sandy real estate question of the day here in just a moment, and AT will do that with a 10-10 take.
10-10 take.
Now, the 10-10 take with Mike Dempsey, brought to you by Northern Tool. Start solving your projects today at northerntool.com. We're made for this.
Hi, I'm not Mike Dempsey, but I still have a 10-10 take for you anyway. Our question of the day asking you to make one bold prediction for the final seven games of the Jaguars season. Tommy, you said that yours would be that they go 1-6 in those final
it's
seven.
It's a bold statement, yes. I don't believe they will, but that would be my bold statement.
Okay, that would be your bold prediction. I'll get to mine here in a moment. Here's a few of the answers we got this morning on the Twitter for the people out there who still have it working for them. As the whole world has been melting down for the last 24 hours. Cristiano said 5-2 record for the Jags in the final seven. Brian said split with the Titans. That would be bold. From Dom, Trevor will match his touchdown pass total from the first 10 games in the final seven. I like that one.
That is good.
Andrew, Jags miss the playoffs but dominate the Titans twice. And they experiment with Lloyd and Muma playtime. Lloyd gets three sacks in the next seven games, among some of the answers that we got there. My bold prediction would be Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker combined for eight sacks in the final seven.
The next seven.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which would be.
Better get on it.
Yeah. Way better production than that we've gotten to this point.
Did I hear dominate the Titans twice?
Yeah.
That's bold.
That's bold.
That ain't happening.
Yeah.
But it's bold. That's what it's for.
Yeah. They're going to win a game in Nashville again at some point. I don't think it's going to be this year.
Yeah.
But I will say, look, they're 3-7. We've talked about the blown opportunities they've had. My expectation would be they're probably going to play a game against the Tennessee Titans that's going to come down to the last couple of drives. And the Titans are going to do what the Titans do.
Yeah.
And close the game out, because that's what they've been able to do for the last 4 or 5 years, and Jacksonville hasn't.
Yeah, they haven't been blown out.
No.
I mean, they haven't been blown out.
Ten points this week, that was the biggest loss they've had.
Yeah, and you were in the game. I mean, there was, you know, you had the, especially with the missed kicks, kickers. You know, you love them, you hate them. Want to tie them up and strangle them for a little bit.
The one going into the half is the one that gets me.
Ugh.
Right?
We like needed that one.
The 52-yarder, okay. Yep. You're not going to make every one of those.
I agree.
It's nice if you're going to, like,
agree.
You're going to miss those every now and then. The one going into halftime,
yep.
Come on. Come on.
The man downfield was a stinger, man. Yeah. That hurt. Yeah. I mean, because that gives you a touchdown. It was a great throw, great play, and you're like, all right, you know, momentum, the whole works. Well, that's why, look, you know, do your job.
Yeah.
It's not self-inflicted. A missed kick isn't self-inflicted, is it? Or is it? Well, he missed it, so it's on.
Yeah, I guess
no, it's just make the kick.
Yeah, I guess it's self-inflicted in that you did it to yourself, right? Like, you're the one who missed the kick, but
I wouldn't be buying beers for that cat.
Right, like, how do you correct that?
Go home.
Don't miss the kick, right? Yeah. Like, that's all there is.
You don't get to come out with us tonight, buddy. Yeah. You're out.
You're going to be like Qatar, dry.
Yeah, right.
Hope you like Bud Zero. I think that's what they're serving in the stadiums over there in Qatar.
But no, so they've been in it. You know, I expect them to be in it. They've got talent. It's not like they don't have talent. They do.
Sure.
Is it the best across the board? No, but it's good enough to compete, obviously. They're not getting blown out.
Mm-hmm.
Getting blown out would be a different story. You'd be like, oh, man, they just can't close. They don't have that killer instinct. They're not just finishing the job. Maybe that's the bold prediction. They start finishing games, you know? We did 2 weeks ago, right?
Against the Raiders,
we did.
Sure.
We finished that game. The defense stepped up when they had to. They made some really good stops, really good plays. The offense came back, you know? But, again, inconsistent. Didn't happen against the Chiefs. And I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
The Chiefs are a great team, but that doesn't mean you didn't have a chance to at least be close.
No doubt.
Closer.
No doubt.
So I expect them to compete in every game. I expect them to be right there. But until they prove that they can finish the deal and drink coffee, closing, I don't know. I got to see it to believe.
Want to get into whatever the plans are going to be for the weekend with the Jaguars off this weekend, Tommy. But before we do that, E.T., We got, is this the fifth or sixth annual sock drive for you?
This is the fifth annual sock drive.
All right. What's going on with that?
This is the first year I'm doing like a sneaker, a gala. As you said, this is the fifth annual sock drive. Socks are the least donated but most requested item by the less fortunate. So every year I kind of gather my resources and I try to bring awareness to that and create funds and provide the essential items that they need. If you want to be a part of it, I have an Eventbrite, so you can come to the event. The event will be held December 16th at the WJCT building. Mm. I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm a good time. And I like to experience that with all my people. So that's why I'm opening up to the public to come see, come hang out, come enjoy yourself.
16th, it's going to be a party, people.
Oh, it's going to be a party. Yeah. Dress to impress, but wear your sneakers. Leave the gowns, leave the hard bottoms at home, bring your sneakers. Also, if you don't want to come to the event, but you still want to be a part of it, I have a GoFundMe. All you have to do is Google search sneaker ball, sneak it, you, sock it to me, sneaker ball, the number two, and then I'll come up.
Beautiful.
Same thing as the Eventbrite. Again, like I said, socks are the least donated but most requested item. And these are some of the things that we take for granted sometimes, so I try to bring the awareness to that.
Yeah, no doubt. And the timing of it's pretty good, talking about this week with the weather turning the way it has,
right?
Yeah, you know, no in doubt. The last couple of days. It's, you know, it's harder to think about those kind of things. Even with it being the holiday season when it's 75, 80 degrees out,
no, right.
You know, like you still may be aware that there's a need, but then you walk outside and it's like, oh, you know, like there are going to be people that are really having to deal with this directly.
No,
like I can go back in my house. There's people out there who don't have that opportunity.
Right.
I think what you're doing is great.
Yeah. Heck yeah. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Helping people, man, serving the good Lord, doing the good work. It's good. Good stuff.
In your community, man. It's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So we appreciate it. Where can they go to get involved one more time?
The Eventbrite, simply just go on Google. Google search sock it to me, the number two, me, sneaker ball, and then that information will come up. You can either purchase a ticket to come to the gala December 16th, or you can donate to the GoFundMe, which all those proceeds are going to the socks and the essential items of the less fortunate.
Yeah, links to it up on your Twitter and all over the place.
You know it.
Oh, yeah.
So people can get
Insta.
To it if they want to through those avenues. Tommy, what do you got coming up this weekend? No Jaguars football. How are you spending the bye?
So let's see. Tonight I've been invited, my wife and I have been invited to the Bill Burr Show.
That'll be fun.
Friends of ours had extra tickets, asked if we wanted to go. We said, of course, love to check it. I haven't seen a comedic act live, like, I don't know. Decades.
I told you when you told me about it.
Yeah.
In my opinion, Bill Burr is the best working comic.
Yeah, he's good. I like Chappelle too.
Chappelle's
makes me laugh.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think those two guys are one too.
Yeah.
And I could go through a list of my top 10 bits
of
my favorite bits from Bill Burr.
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
Yeah. You know, I don't get too carried away one way or the other. You know, they're entertaining. It's entertainment, so we're going to go do that. Tomorrow night, we hit the stage for the final time of the year, the Dad Bods.
There you go.
We're going back to our original place, the American Legion Post 233, right there in Palm Valley on North Wilderness Avenue. They've got a $10 Italian dinner that's supposed to be unbelievable.
Okay.
You don't have to buy the dinner if you don't want to, but we'll be rocking and rolling. I think we're going to do three sets, about 10, 11 songs.
Oh,
you never know what's going to happen with the last. It's the last show, Tone. So I'm like, listen, let's blow the roof off. Let's make it a good time. You know.
So you're doing like 3 45-minute sets,
pretty much.
Nice, man.
Yeah, man, we get after it.
Yeah.
That's why I have to change a shirt at between sets. I sweat my butt off. It's a lot of movement, but it's fun, man.
No doubt.
Sunday we'll. Just be chilling, getting ready for Thanksgiving week. My oldest is up in Nashville for the weekend. She'll be back. I'll have all my girls at home for Thanksgiving week, and that's the best part of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So how about you? What are you going to do?
It's the season.
I know what you're doing tonight.
Nothing. Yeah, I got Bulls football tonight.
Right? Yeah,
Playoff football tonight against Bishop Moore will be the plan. Kickoff 7:30 in a regional semifinal for the Bulldogs. So we'll see how that one goes. I think this is going to be a really good ball game tonight, actually.
Yeah,
I saw that Bishop Moore team last week.
Did you?
Going up against Bishop Kenny, and I think it probably is going to be a really good ball game.
Awesome.
Tonight over there
at
the bowl school. And then no plans on Saturday, which is fine. I don't mind having nothing to do. Sunday it's going to be a bunch of red zone, and I will be – I'm one of the guys you know that will be locked in for the World Cup from the moment they start that deal. So Sunday at 11 o'clock, I'm going to be in front of a TV watching World
Are they
Cup
still
soccer.
Flopping in soccer?
You know, you got to get the attention of the referee somehow.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you know, tough
I like
guys.
The guy that headbutted the other guy in the chest. Remember that was like 5 years ago?
Zinedine Zidane.
That was awesome.
Yeah. The French
it's physical,
player
man.
That did that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's what I got coming up this weekend is I'm super pumped that the World Cup is here.
Yeah, cool.
And that the USA is involved in it again. They don't play till Monday at 2.
Mm-hmm.
They take on Wales. So I got to see how much USA garb I will be wearing on Monday when I come in for the show, but it won't be zero USA garb for the show on Monday. I can promise
Drink
you that.
Some Bud Zeros.
Yeah,
Tone.
Bud Zero. That's what you're allowed to have in the stadiums, apparently, there in Qatar. They're worried about the hooligans. The soccer hooligans are swarming into their area.
They do get on the field and chase the refs away sometimes.
It has been known to happen from time to time. With that, let's say hello to XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, brought to you by Tire Outlet. Tire Outlet is now hiring. Visit tireoutlet.com/careers, equal opportunity employer.
Mia from XL Primetime joining us now. What's going on, Mia?
What's going on, boys? I know that Wales game on Monday will be great, but I got the calendar circled for that Black Friday USA England this upcoming Friday, 1 week from today.
Yep.
I also love it because big fan of the college football rivalry games on Black Friday. So to go from that to that to that, and then, of course, NFL over the weekend.
Yep.
Man, it's going to be a good Thanksgiving sports weekend, and we'll have had the NFL on Thursday, too.
Yeah. For a sports fan, I don't think it gets better. Like,
yes.
If you enjoy World Cup soccer, you're going to have sports on your TV starting Monday, basically, from 5 a.m., till the end of the day.
And there's part of me that, like, I miss having it in June. Like, I remember, like, back in high school, shout out to my junior year physics teacher. We watched every game of the World Cup that was on while we were in physics, which was awesome. but I do miss that part of it because, of course, it's June. Let's be real. Who's in New Jersey? You know Tom up there. Yep. Who's really paying attention? That's like May down here in Florida for the calendar year for schools. But I do miss – I actually worked at a bar summer 2014 while I was still in college, and I watched every game of the 2014 World Cup at Woody's bar down in up in good old New Jersey. And so I loved that part of it. And I know people have been asking me all week, like, hey, now that USA is back in it, like, isn't there added incentive? And I was like, honestly, I was still locked in 2018 and even 2014 when they kind of, you know.
Still watch.
Yeah. Like, I was still locked in.
Are they the U.S.
youngest
team
in the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's going
to
be interesting.
It's hard to tell.
Okay.
You know, they got more players playing internationally than they've had in a while.
Yeah.
So at least on a world stage, they're a little bit more highlighted than they have been in quite a while, but it's a tough group. We'll
Plus, so many of the players, and I was saying this to somebody last night, like so many of the USA players, Tom, are dual citizens, whether it was their parents are military, and so they grew up on bases in Germany, which honestly is a feather in the Americans' cap because they literally were getting training by some of the best in the world over in Europe and Asia and other parts of the world.
Yeah.
And now they're still playing for the U.S.
Yeah,
so I don't want to say that helps, but it makes it interesting.
No doubt. What do you got coming up on primetime today?
Probably not talking World Cup soccer. JJ LaSelva is off on vacation, so that's my fellow resident soccer aficionado.
Soccer,
on a little island. But we have Dylan Denmark pushing the ones and twos, myself, Matt Hayes, and Leon Searcy. Joe C. is up RSM Classicking up in St. Simons for the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll check in on that, but we're also obviously going to hit all the Jags and the college football. We're going to have our picks, of course, coming up at 1:20. And then Matthew Driscoll, head basketball coach of the UNF Ospreys, joins us at 2.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No offseason for the tour, man.
Never. I do love the RSM. If you've never gotten up there, folks, it is a fun tournament up there. And obviously the restaurants and the food up there, very underrated part of the country.
Yeah.
So go on up if you have time this weekend. Obviously the Jags are on a bye. They couldn't have asked for a better schedule.
Sure, no doubt. All right, Mia, we'll be listening.
Thanks, guys.
XL Primetime coming up next from noon to 3 today. Tommy, that'll do it for us.
Yeah, man. It was
Appreciate
fun.
You coming in. We'll see you in a couple weeks with Thanksgiving next week.
Well, that's right. I'll be in Tuesday to do my podcast. So I'll wave through the
window. Wave through the window?
Yeah. Mike's been really friendly lately. He waves and smiles. And I'm like, all right, must be the holiday season.
You shamed him into it. Right?
It's great.
As he passes by. That'll do it for us here on Jaguars Today. So for Tom McManus, for E.T., for a absent Mike Dempsey, I'm Tony Smith. Back with more on Monday here on 1010XL and Jaguars Today.
Yo, Jacksonville. Start taking care of y'all mantles, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken.